Welcome to New Season Ministry with Evangelist Jeremy Cook. We hope today's message will challenge, encourage, and uplift you in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the message.
I want you to go back with me tonight to the book of Galatians chapter 5, the book of Galatians chapter 5. And we are going to end our series tonight on cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. And you may be saying, you know, well, Pastor Jeremy, you left out a couple. But I told you the last time that we were together and we talked about gentleness, that the things like gentleness and goodness, meekness, self-control, those kind of all flow in together. And so, but I want tonight to focus on cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And to end this tonight, I want us to talk about faithfulness. How many knows that God rewards faithfulness? Amen. God is wanting His people to be faithful. We're going to talk about that tonight. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We've read it already several times over the last several weeks that we have been talking about this. But let's read it again. Let's read it again together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So you may be seated in the house of God tonight. So as we conclude our series, on spiritual fruit, there are a few things that I am wanting to remind you of as it concerns this fruit. We've got to understand that this working of the fruit of the Spirit, or this working of what God is wanting to do in us and through us, that this is an internal working of the Spirit of God. We've talked about it from the very beginning. You cannot in and of yourself bring forth the joy of the Spirit. In and of yourself, you cannot bring forth the peace of the Spirit of God. You cannot bring forth those things that are considered the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because it is an internal working. And life in the Spirit. How many here want to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led people in the house tonight? If you are going to be Spirit-led, if you are going to be Spirit-filled, then the life of the Spirit within you, it grows out of what is inside of you. Only that which is internal will produce that which is external. Amen? Even though that we talk a lot about the external is a result of what is going on on the inside of you. Now come on, you're not helping me preach tonight, but that's okay. Because what is happening on the inside of you is always going to manifest itself on the outside. See, if the inside is dead, then before too long, that which is dead on the inside is always going to show up on the outside. Amen? But if there is life on the inside, then life will spring up. Amen? Life will spring up. Life will show forth in the fruit of that. Basically, what is on the inside of you. You can try to hide it. You can try to mask it. You can try to do all sorts of different things. But who you are on the inside will eventually come out. Amen? If there is the Spirit living on the inside of you, spiritual things are going to flow. If there's flesh still living on the inside of you, fleshly things are going to flow out of that. So if there, again, if there is life on the inside, then the result of the outside will be the things concerning the Spirit of God. I say that because, again, I say that the things that God wants to produce inside of you has to be done by the working of the Spirit of God. Why? Because Zechariah would say, it is not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So we've got to understand that it is a working of the Spirit of God. But you and I do have a responsibility in cultivating this fruit. You and I have a responsibility to work this out in our lives. If you know anything about, gardening, if you know anything about planting gardens, planting flowers, any of those different types of things, you know that as somebody who does that, you know that at different times, you've got to take the necessary precautions to protect the vegetables. You've got to take the necessary precautions to protect the plants or the flowers or what have you. And so at various times, you've got to apply some things in that working so that the external things do not affect what is trying to happen on the inside of the plant. Amen. There are times that you have to put a little fertilizer on it. There are times that you have to pluck up some weeds that are around it. There are times that you are going to have to put some pesticide on those flowers or on those things that you are trying to grow to keep the external things from coming in and devouring it. And so when we talk about cultivation, when we talk about cultivating the things of the Spirit of God, that means that we've got to take the necessary precautions to make sure that the things that are external don't affect what is trying to happen on the inside. Amen? So you've got to understand something here. See, listen. Oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. You've got to understand that when someone sins, let's just take sin for an example here. If somebody is in a lifestyle of sin, more often than not, what we do is we focus on the external. We focus on the deed that was done. Oh, well, that person lied, or oh, that person cheated, or well, that person did this, or that person did that. And we always focus on the deed, but very rarely do we look at the root of the problem. Why? Because anything that happens externally always has its root in something that is internal. And so with sin, the fact of the matter is that there is a sin nature. But once you've been born again, the Bible says that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so what happens is that your root system ought to change. And we are no longer plugged in to the things of the flesh, but we are plugged in to the things of the Spirit. That's why Paul the Apostle would write, and he would say, walk in the Spirit, and what? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here's the other thing. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that God is wanting you to cultivate in your life, it's foreign to this world. I was reading this today, and I was thinking about this. Every word of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, meekness, self-control, all of those things, when you look those up, we're going to do some Bible study here. Y'all okay with that? If you look up all of those words in the Greek, they are all used in the feminine sense. Now, why is that? Why would Paul the Apostle use wording in the feminine sense? Because here's the reason why I think, is because a lot of the times, the things that we think that are manly, the things that we think that are tough, the things, you know, we're taught, you know, when I, growing up, I was taught by my dad, you don't cry. Until somebody one time, well, I shouldn't say it like this, but till one time, there was a kid in high school, well, in middle school, I'm sorry, that I was picking on. Now, can you believe I would pick on anybody? And they were picking, and I was picking on them, and they started to cry. And I said, "What are you crying about?" I said, "Men don't cry." And he looked at me. He said, "Yeah." He says, "But what are you going to tell everybody when this crybaby beats you up?" And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "That's a." I said, "I may need to." I said, "I mean to back off here." But God is tapping into something that goes against the natural course of this world. Men, let me talk to the men here. Men, we're taught to be tough and rough. I mean, if you don't have calluses on your hands, then you're not much of a man. All right?
Yes.
But have you noticed that Paul the Apostle didn't address anything that was external? Everything regarding the fruit of the Spirit is all internal. Oh, I'm getting ready to preach here. Everything that Paul the Apostle was writing was about an inward work. That's the reason why he would say it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's gentleness, it's goodness. All of these things are foreign to the world. Because here's the thing. The world doesn't know what real love is. The world doesn't know what real gentleness is. The world doesn't know what self-control is. Come on, somebody ought to help me preach right there. The world doesn't know what goodness is. The world doesn't know what meekness is. And so God is saying through the Apostle Paul, he's saying these things that I'm wanting to cultivate in your life is something that is foreign to this world. The world doesn't have any idea, but when you are plugged into the Spirit of God, this is the natural outflow that you'll live your life in such a way that people will look at what is going on and go, "That is a foreign concept to me." Because here's the thing. You are known by your fruit. Listen to what Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 16. He says, "You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act." Yes. "Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire." Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. And again, so what is Jesus saying here about the fruit? Jesus is saying that, again, it is about the inwardness of the heart. It is about the inwardness of the Spirit that is working in you. Don't tell me how much you love somebody. Don't tell me how gentle you are if every time something goes wrong, every time something happens, you're biting somebody's head off. Every time that you tell somebody that you love them, but you don't show it by your actions. You say that you're full of meekness, but really, when you start to speak in pride, is the only thing that comes out. He says you will know a tree, what? By its fruit. You know how I living in Florida most of my life. You know how I know that an orange tree is an orange tree? Because it's got oranges on it. And so when I drive by an orange tree and I see that it has oranges, then it tells me it is an orange tree. Now I know that sounds elementary. But we've got a lot of Christians that are professing something and they don't have the fruit to show it.
Oh, let me just preach right here. See, here's the thing. You know that John the Baptist wouldn't baptize people until they showed fruit unto repentance? Ooh, we just got very, very quiet. Because what that did is that goes against everything that we've done in Pentecostalism for the last 150 years. We grew up in a culture, you got saved on Sunday morning, on Sunday afternoon, we were taking you to the creek, getting you baptized. John the Baptist said, nope, I'm not doing that. Read your Bible. Oh, don't get quiet on me here. He said, you've got to show fruit unto repentance. There's got to be some fruit that is shown who you profess to be. And if your fruit doesn't line up, then what you are speaking, can we just handle some harshness for a second, is a lie. And if what you are speaking does not bear forth in the fruit, you see, when people see you and I, they will always see the evidence of what is being produced in our lives. So whatever that you fertilize is always going to grow in your life. So whatever that you're cultivating is always going to show forth in your life. If you're cultivating peace, peace is going to show up in your life. If you are cultivating joy, joy is going to show up in your life. If you're cultivating goodness, goodness is going to show up in your life. But here's the flip side. If you're cultivating chaos, chaos is always going to show up in your life. If you're cultivating fear, fear is always going to show up in your life. If you're cultivating heartache, heartache is always going to show up in your life. If you're cultivating negativity, negativity is always going to show up in your life. So what you fertilize always grows. So if you're fertilizing fleshly things, guess what's going to happen? Fleshly things are going to arise. But if you're fertilizing spiritual things, if you're feeding spiritual things will begin to grow. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. He would say, also, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said unto him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Can I tell you, God's desire, and we're getting ready to talk about faithfulness here in just a minute, but I'm laying the groundwork about cultivation. God takes producing fruit so seriously that there will come a time if you are not producing what God intends you to produce, He'll cut you out. It's quiet here, but this is true. If there is not true fruit that is being produced, if there is not true joy that is being produced in your life, if there is not true goodness that is being produced in your life, and that is what the Spirit of God expects of you, there will come a time, because here's the thing, God cursed what should have been producing fruit. Amen. It had all the appearance that it was producing fruit. The Bible says he walks by, examines it. It should have had fruit on it. It didn't have fruit on it. He curses it and it withers up and it dies. Why? Because God takes it very seriously about the church and about His people producing fruit. Can I give you a good indication? I don't even have this in my notes, but I'm going to say it right here. I don't want to take too much time in getting off in this. But can I tell you, if where you're at today looks like where you were at a year ago, then something is not being produced in your life. If where your family is at today, the same as it was 10 years ago. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm getting ready to step into something, Pastor. I get weary of always talking of preachers, prophetic people, always talking about something that is going to happen in the future. We've been living in a generation where something's going to happen for over 50 years. So let me just stop right here and say this. Either we're not cultivating what God intended 50 years ago for us to be cultivating, or somebody lied. But God intends the church to be producing. Well, let me I'm trying not to go on rabbit trails here, but I just can't help myself. You go into any business, you go into finance, you go into sales, and you know what they want to see? They want to see results.
Amen. Right.
They don't care. They necessarily don't care about you. What they want to see is the results. Did we grow from this year to this year? Did we make, what was our profit margin? Did we make money? Did we lose money? And after a while, if you're not producing, all of a sudden you'll get called into the CEO's office and they'll say, hey, you're not producing like we need you to produce, so we're cutting you out and you need to go find something else. Sports teams do it all the time because why? What do sports teams want to do more than anything? Win.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Come on. Good preaching.
And so God's desire for us is to produce fruit. And if we don't produce fruit, He has no other alternative but to cut them off.
Amen. Right.
So we've talked about all the other fruit. So let's talk this evening just for a few moments about faithfulness. Because he says here that one of the fruits of the Spirit is faith or faithfulness. It is a Greek word that means persuasion. That is credence, moral conviction, especially reliance upon Christ for Savior. It is an assurance, a belief, a faith, or a fidelity that Jesus is who He says He is, and that your life is faithful to Him. Because when you are connected to the source, which is the Holy Spirit, one of the things that it'll produce in your life is faith and faithfulness. Now, it is twofold, because here's the thing. In our Pentecostal charismatic circles, we talk a lot about faith. We talk a lot about faith. You need faith. Got to have enough faith. Somebody doesn't get a miracle, it's because they didn't have enough faith. You just didn't believe, or you didn't. Don't get me started on all of that. But the truth is, faith can never be found apart from the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
True faith and true faithfulness cannot be produced in your life without the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is Jesus that gives us every good and perfect gift.
Yes.
Isn't that what the scripture says? The scripture says that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When we talk about gifts, which is the Greek word, it is where we get where we actually get our English word charismatic. It is actually grace gifts. It is gifts that is given to us. It is amazing that we'll talk about God giving us every other gift except faith, but we act on as faith something that we've got to muster up ourselves. And Brother Johnny, I'm going to preach for just a second. And we'll beat people up over it.
Come on, man. Yeah.
You didn't get your healing. I'm going to tear down some idols here. And I'm not trying to make anybody mad.
Bless you.
You didn't get your healing. So there must be an issue of faith somewhere.
Come on,
yeah.
Oh, this didn't happen or that didn't happen. Because we all know if you've got enough faith, and what we've produced in the church, and I've counseled enough people, because I've had enough people in 20 years of ministry sit in my office, sit in my living room, and I've had to counsel them because they have beat themselves up one side and down the other, say, well, I hear all these people say that if I just had faith, that all these things would happen to me. And so is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with the way I... And I would have to look at them and say, no, that's a spirit that's jumped on you because what you've been told is a lie. My goodness, I'm getting ready to preach here right now. Because sometimes you can't even believe properly unless the Spirit of God drops it on the inside of you. There are some things I don't even know what to believe for. Unless God does that work in me. Because listen, true faith gives us the ability to trust Him at all times. Listen to this. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23. This is what the Apostle Paul would write. He says, but before faith came, what? Before faith came, we were bad. But then God gives to every one of us the measure, not a measure, but the measure, to believe what? To believe that He is who He says He is, to trust Him in the full pardon of salvation. Then outside of that, there are gifts that He gives severally as He wills. I'm teaching today. And one of those is the gift of faith. But faith is not a magic genie that we rub to get whatever that we want. To get our bills paid. We rub the magic lamp and say, Jesus, I've got faith. Pay my bills. Jesus, I've got faith. Do this. Jesus, I've got faith. Do that. No. Faith is the confident assurance that He is who He says He is. And we hold to that, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, that says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Now let's put that into context. Are you ready? Who's He writing that to? He's writing that to a group of people that are talking about going back to Levitical law. And that is the reason why the writer of Hebrews would later on say in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 that if we sin willfully after we come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. We as Pentecostals have meant that to mean that, well, you know, if you sin, then there's no more sacrifice for sins. No, what he is saying there, he says, if you go back to the old way of doing things. And if you sin, there is nothing else that can, there is no other sacrifice, there's no goat you can kill, there is no lamb that you can kill, because there's already been a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and His name is Jesus Christ, and there's no other. And He says, and that is the faith that you need to hold on to.
Yes, amen.
You see, true faith is produced in us because of the faithful one that is working.
Yes.
I'm going to say that again. True faith works in you because of the faithful one who is working. Can we just be honest? At some point in our lives, every one of us have had problems being faithful. Now, immediately when we start talking about faithfulness, we start talking about marriages and everything like that. That's part of it. But have you ever told somebody you'd do something and you didn't do it?
Yeah.
I'll raise up both hands. You know what that is? That's an issue of faithfulness.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And every one of us has an issue at time, at some point in our lives, with that. And we can make up all the reasons why we didn't do it. But the truth is, we can't be faithful in and of ourselves. But true faith works in us because of the faithful one who is working. There is only one who has truly ever been faithful. You ought to have shouted right there. There is only one person that has ever truly been faithful. Because the perfect examples of faith and faithfulness is found in Jesus Christ, because the Bible describes him as faithful and true.
Yes.
Three times in the book of Revelation, he is described as that. Revelation 3 and 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Revelation 19 and 11 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 6 says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Can I tell you, my goodness, I'm getting ready to preach here right now. The reason why true faith can be built up in us, that we can build ourselves up on our most holy faith, is because there is one that is faithful and true. You may have messed up. You may have done crazy things in your life. But can I tell you, God's faithfulness is not dependent on your faithfulness. The fact of the matter is this. There is only one who is faithful and true, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it gives me the confident assurance that no matter what it is that I'm going through, no matter what it is that I'm facing, no matter what it is that hell is trying to throw at me, if I will just cling to the Spirit of the living God, the one who is faithful and true will always see me through. That is a life of faith. But he also calls us to a life of faith. Let me bring this to a close. God expects us to be faithful regardless of what's going on.
Amen.
I said it from the very beginning. It's an internal work. Internal work is not affected by what is going on the outside.
Amen.
For a number of years growing up, we had a house in Alabama that my dad bought. My dad fixed it up. I loved that house. If it was up to me, I still have that house today. And I'll never forget this one time. And of course, as a child, this was before smartphones. This was before all of those different types of things. So we were remodeling the house. My dad was putting aluminum siding on the house. And he got to looking into the sky, and he looked at me, he said, son, he says, It's getting ready to storm pretty bad, I think. He says, so we need to finish up and get everything put away before it starts storming. My cousin came over and just at that time they brought a brand new Pontiac. That thing was nice. Parked it next to the porch before. Within just a matter of minutes, there was a great storm. I mean, that started sweeping over our community. I mean, the wind was blowing. As a matter of fact, my dad had stacked the aluminum siding up on the porch. And it blew all of that aluminum siding off the porch. And it hit my cousin's brand new Pontiac. I'm talking about scratched it up, dented it up, did everything. I felt so bad for it. And looking outside, I mean, the skies are dark. The wind's blowing. We're hearing the tornado siren going off in our community. Dad says, let's get in the house. We got in the house, and this is the only house that I've ever had the privilege of living in. I've never had this happen before, but when we got into that house and shut the door, you could not hear a thing that was going on outside. You couldn't hear the wind blowing. You couldn't hear the wind howling. If the thunder was crashing and the lightning was striking, you couldn't hear it. It was so peacefully calm in that house. And if you were in the house, and if you hadn't have been standing out there, if we hadn't have been standing out there, you would have had no idea what was going on out there, because we were safe inside where it was peaceful.
Right.
I am getting ready to preach. Because for us at the house, we weren't concerned what was going on outside as long as we were inside. Mm-hmm. And so, more often than not, He wants to produce that same thing in you. And it's faithfulness that no matter what is going on the inside, you know that God's got it under control.
Yes.
Can I read something to you here? Can I show you what a picture of faithfulness looks like? Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blaspheme of them who say that they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. This is what he says in verse 10. Fear not. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Ye shall be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But listen to what he says here. Be faithful for how long? Name it and claim it. No, that's not what he said. He said, be faithful unto death. Okay, I've got about 6 minutes, and I want to take my time. I just want to share with you what's on my heart. Faith and faithfulness that God produces in our lives requires us that when everything doesn't go right, we still trust Him. See, and you're going to hear me say this at least one more time in this message, because I'm weary with it. We've produced a culture in the church in the last 50 to 60 years because of false ideology and false teaching that teaches anything bad that comes your way. Don't receive that. And you have the authority to just speak it away. I've come by here right now. I'm not looking for a title. I'm not looking for an applause. But I am going to preach what I believe that book says. That's false doctrine. Because not everything that comes your way can be spoken away. Not everything that we perceive as negative can be gone away. What happens is in the last 50 or 60 years, what that has produced in the church is that it's produced people that we have beat up. I've had people ask me, I can mention names, but I'm not going to do that. I've had people ask me. They have looked at me and they said, you know what? I've been told time and time again, pastor, preacher, that what I need to do is I need to take authority over it. How in the world do I do that? I feel like that I'm doing that and I'm still doing it and I'm still going through it.
Come on.
Be faithful.
Yes.
Be faithful. When? Unto death.
Yes.
What do you tell a church that Jesus looks at and says, you're getting ready to suffer? Some prosperity pimps, and that's what I'm going to call them, would have told the church, man, you don't receive that. That's not of God, because God would never cause you to go through suffering. Jesus just told this church, you're going to suffer. You're going to go through some things. You're not going to understand everything. You're not going to be able to wrap your head around it. You're going to look at everything that's going on and you're going to say, you know what? I paid my tithes and I still can't pay my bills. I've been faithful to church. I've been faithful to my Bible reading. I've been faithful in my giving. I've been faithful in my church attendance. I've been faithful in everything in my life. And I still can't get rid of this sickness. Preacher, what am I supposed to do? Be faithful. Be faithful unto death. Now somebody's going to go out of here and is going to say, well, he don't believe in healing. And he don't believe in this. And he don't believe in that. You go away saying that, you're lying. Amen. I'm not mad. Amen. But I'm preaching what the book says.
True.
The fact of the matter is this. What the Spirit of God will produce in our lives. What it will produce in our lives is a faithfulness and a faith in y'all.
Yes.
That says it is not about the external. It is not about the storm that is raging. It's not about the sickness that I'm going through. It's not about the financial difficulty that I'm going through. Because listen to what he says. He says, give me 2 minutes. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And he says, he that overcomes. Can I tell you what faithfulness produces? According to this scripture here, faithfulness will keep you out of hell.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You read a little further on in Revelation, you find out that what is the second death? The second death is the lake of fire.
Right.
And he puts this premium on faith in him, that regardless of what it is that we are going through, regardless of what it is that we're facing, regardless of what it is that is troubling us, I know that he's faithful. Let me just say this in the last minute that I have. If you're going through something in this house tonight, I just want to share this with you. If you're going through something in this house tonight, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter if it's sickness. It doesn't matter if it's if you're struggling with something. It doesn't matter if you if it's financial, whatever the case may be. Don't let the enemy, don't let anybody else tell you, well, got to be something wrong somewhere. Because if you had everything lined up the way it was supposed to, these are all the things that's going to happen. Can I just say this? You know I'm a statistics person, right? Sister Kathy, you know I'm a statistics person. You know what statistics tell me? Statistics tell me one out of one died. Right? Bible says it is appointed to the man once to die and after this judgment. So what God is looking for is that God is looking for people who will be faithful.
Yes. Yes.
Up to that point.
Yes.
Oh yes. Deep preaching. Deep word.
There's going to be bumps in the road. I'll never forget this. I don't know why I'm going to use Barney Fife as an illustration, but I'm going to use Barney Fife as an illustration. But he told Gomer one time, he said, in life, we travel many roads. There are smooth roads, bumpy roads, there's straight roads and there's crooked roads. Regardless of the road that you're on, God commands us to be faithful unto Him.
And that can only be produced by our reliance on the Spirit of God. Because what I've just told you tonight,
and I'm bringing it to a close, cannot happen unless you are connected to the Spirit. How do two preachers pray and sing in jail after they have been beaten within an inch of their life?
Yes.
That's right.
Good preaching.
They didn't do that in and of themselves. That was a work of the Spirit.
Yes.
How can you tell a preacher, preacher, you go to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest you, and ultimately you'll wind yourself up on Nero's chopping block, and you'll give your life? And how can a preacher in the midst of all that stand up and say, none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself? And you know what history tells us about the Apostle Paul? I know I preached over time, but just give me a second here. You know what history tells us about the Apostle Paul? It tells us that when the edict came, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost as I'm getting ready to say this. When the edict came and they went to grab to get the Apostle Paul to take him to the chopping block where he would lay his head down and the axe would come down and remove his head, history and historians will tell us that Paul ran to the chopping block. Why? Because he considered it an honor
to lay down his life for the cause of Christ. He was faithful unto death. And no matter what you're going through, and no matter what you're facing, the word to you tonight in the close of this series is simply this. Let faith arise in you to where you trust God above everything else and be faithful unto Him. Amen. Stand with me all over this house.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Evangelist Jeremy Cook. If you would like more information regarding New Season Ministry, to schedule Jeremy to minister at your event, or to support the ministry with a love gift, please contact us at 859-404-4007. Or you may email him at PastorJeremyCook@gmail.com. God bless, and we will see you next time on New Season Ministry.